Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings. Welcome to Warn Radio Advocacy and Gospel News for the Persecuted Church. I am Tower, and we are glad you joined us today. It is June 5th, 2019. Can't keep track of the time. The scripture reading this week is found in Numbers chapter 4, verses 21 through chapter 7, verse 89. Judges chapter 13, verses 2 through 25. The New Testament portion is Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through chapter 14, verse 35. Also, Acts chapter 21, verses 17 through 26. Be sure to follow the Warn, the WIBR Warn Radio on Facebook and Twitter. Look for hashtag WatchmanIS216 on Instagram and Twitter. Look also for hashtag Warn Radio, and on LinkedIn, it is Watchman. You can listen to our shows on warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, and we're also on Blog Talk Radio, and we have that link on our, or the link to Warn Radio on Blog Talk is Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk. Take time to read the important articles by the Watchman. The Persecuted Gospel and Christian Leadership. The Time When Anointed Leaders of the Gospel Are Imprisoned and Martyred for Christ, for Obedience to the Faith, Among All Nations for His Name, Among Whom Are You the Called of Jesus Christ, Paul in Romans 1. Also, Prophet's Burden in the Valley of Vision. Prophet's Burden. The prophet spoke the light of God, which is his truth. But the truth had fallen. His prophets were full of wind. Therefore, God sent other prophets. Faith words don't come from a dry well. Faith words. Dig your well, and again, I say dig your well. Let it not be a dry hole, but a well full of water unto everlasting life. And now I welcome in the Watchman. But first, here is a word.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
Good. I'm glad I can hear you now.
Well, I don't know what the problem was, but Blog Talk does have an issue. And
we got it taken care of, so that's good.
Yeah. So I don't really like their setup at Blog Talk. There's a lot of good things, but there's stuff I don't, you know, it just doesn't work real well. So, but at any rate, we're here on a Wednesday night in June.
Yeah, I almost thought it was it was Thursday. I don't know why I was thinking that.
Well, at any rate, the Observatory on Intolerance and Discrimination Against Christians in Europe released a report in February. And they were talking about all the assaults on Christian churches and monuments in France. Of course, France is one of those, along with others, that's allowed in huge Muslim populations. And so this is a problem for Europe. According to the report, in the first 11 days of February, there were 10 recorded attacks on churches of France. And, of course, they would set fire to the altar and desecrate various statues. I mean, it's hard to say whether it's Muslims or just somebody else. I mean, you can't blame the Muslims unless you know. But they are known to be rather aggressive in that manner in Europe. The Observatory, an organization dedicated to building a Europe where Christians may fully exercise their fundamental right to freedom of religion without fear of reprisals, censorship, threats, or violence, believes that these attacks are a sign of growing anti-Christian hostility. And I think that's true. French Prime Minister Edouard Philippe has denounced the attacks and has met with church leaders to prevent future attacks. Well, France and Sweden and a number of others who have had a high incident of Muslim immigrants coming into their country illegally have had areas where the police can't even go.
Good grief.
And, of course, like you and I were talking, rapes have gone up, and I think it was Sweden that told their women to just submit so they don't get killed. And, I mean,
that's,
you know,
horrible. I wouldn't.
You know, Europe.
Why should they back down? Why are these men backing down from that kind of stuff? Why aren't they out there protecting their women? Are they not allowed to, or what's going on?
Well, you know, I don't know. Europe has had a problem for a long time. And, look at the UK. You can't even defend yourself in your house. You know, if someone comes in there to do something, you know, how many reports have we heard of the people who tried to defend themselves are the ones that got thrown in jail?
Yeah.
One guy defended himself with the knife he had in his kitchen, and he was the one that wound up in prison.
Yeah, that's wrong.
But at any rate, that's probably the exception rather than the rule, but it is a mess. You know? But you get in America, and we do have the Second Amendment, and a lot of liberals hate the Second Amendment, so they try to do away with it. There's a fight on it to remove it all the time. The liberals do nothing but trash the NRA and trash people that have guns or believe in the freedom to use them. And every time there's a shooting in America, they use that as an excuse to outlaw guns. But these people are morons. Because that excuse is about as stupid as you can get. Because if someone wants to kill someone, they're going to find a means to do it, even getting illegal guns.
Sure.
Well, all over the world, we have people dying because they don't have any guns to defend themselves. And, just the way it is, you know. But we do have the castle doctrine, which means that you can protect yourself in your own home. And,
which is good. You should be able to.
Well, yeah. And, when you think about things being screwed up, I mean, today they can definitely be screwed up. And so, at any rate, you know, it was, I think, about 3 weeks ago. And it was a Rolling Stone, or this is Rolling Out, not Rolling Stone. And,
Rolling Out?
Yeah, that's the, it's about a black girl who is a psychic medium at a church.
Good grief.
And, you know, they mention the one as being Dr. LaCara Foster, a self-proclaimed black girl psychic medium. She can heal people, give voice to spirits, and help us reframe church and psychic mediumship. And,
you know,
the bottom line of it is all this stuff is familiar spirits. This is dealing with doctrines of devils. And it has no place in the Christian Church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But it was probably even a month ago. Time goes so fast that there was another story we had about the same way. And they were talking about getting psychics. There was a woman who said that she was a psychic and a Christian, and she was in church. Now, you know, some people have problems with phraseology. You know, is it really a psychic spirit, you know, a familiar spirit? Or is it truly, you know, being filled with the Spirit of God and doing a lot of other things, you know, doing the things that are biblical? And there is a deceit within the church of people that have gifts of the Spirit, so-called, but they're not of the Spirit. And, you know, it goes way back because I remember watching one particular revival that was supposed to be demonstrating the gifts of the Spirit. And one pastor was being led around with a dog chain and he was barking. And I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous.
By his wife, yeah. She was leading him around. He was crawling on all fours like a dog, and she had him on a chain and a leash.
That's unclean spirits, you know. And the thing of it is that
and that showed that she was taking dominion over him.
It showed that they were all nuts. That's what it showed. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've seen the entering in of unclean spirits into the church for a long time. And so now you have this gal who, psychic medium and minister who holds a doctorate of ministry from an interdenominational theological center in Atlanta. So, you know, today we have the thing where you have the modern church and they're combining psychics and mediums and all this other stuff. Every bit of that is unclean. And, you know, Paul actually had an encounter like that that's recorded in Acts, and he cast the spirit out. It was an unclean spirit. And so, you know, the thing of it is that in America, you know, we're crazy. We're nuts, you know. I mean, when you begin to do this stuff, and, you know, no wonder people look at you and, you know, if you're full gospel, they think you're nuts. You know, and of course, we came out of an Assembly of God church, graduated from Assembly of God Bible school, and we know very well, you know, the evidence of the Spirit of God and the fruits thereof. And there is no doubt that this particular thing, you know, this is one of the devil's successes right here. And so there's no doubt this woman has this power. I mean, this is the way these spirits work. And so it's just one of those things that bears talking about today, because we're in news about America right now, is that in America, these things have got to get cleaned out. And they're not going to get cleaned out until you have somebody that actually has the Spirit of God that can clean them out, and we have authority back. Until then, we just play church and we fool ourselves.
Yeah, I believe that's true.
And so, at any rate, so, you know, and I think that other one I'm thinking about is a woman who called herself a Christian witch.
I don't remember who that was.
And I remember it very, very distinctly. So this one says that she's a medium. And, of course, you know, right in the middle of it is our Christians that don't have any sense about them. And the minute you start allowing people like this to pray over you, to touch you, there's a transference of spirits, and you wind up with the spirit that she has. It's called transference of spirits, and it's something you don't want to mess with. You stay away from it. Let me put it this way. Stay the hell away from it. Hell, H-E-L-L, because that's where it's from. But see, the world don't want to hear about this kind of stuff. Now, see, even imams have been known to cast the demonic spirits out through their, you know, and I've heard of imams doing that. So there's no doubt that there is a lot of baloney going on. That's about.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful out there. You got to get in the Word of God, stay in the Word of God, and don't get led astray. One of the biggest things the Lord warned about in these end days was, you know, those who would deceive. Deception would be the great thing to watch out for.
Yep.
So are you ready to do...
That's happening all over America.
Yeah. Are you ready to do any of your stuff?
I only have one.
Well, you actually got two.
Well, I'm ready with one.
Okay. Which one are you going to do?
The Secret Life of Christians in Malaysia.
Well, there's another one, China Trafficking.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Well, that's okay. You do whichever one.
Okay, I'll do that, the Malaysia first. Okay, so this comes to us from Open Doors, and it's all the names of these people in this story have been changed to protect them. They cannot even put photos up of the people because it would endanger their lives. And this gal is named Nora, this lady, her name is Nora. And here's some things you should know about her. Of course, Nora is not her real name. She's a secret Christian in Malaysia. Her family doesn't know she's married. The government doesn't know she is married. She is officially registered as a Muslim. And because of that, she cannot have children. If she had children, and the Muslims found out, they would take her children away from her and her husband, which they can do according to the law, and they would raise them as Muslims. And Nora is not the only one in Malaysia like that. There's lots of women that suffer because of this. And she had a secret wedding. Of course, she wasn't able to let her family know, so it had to be secret. She's still living as a Muslim, as far as her family knows. And Nora went to work when she became an adult and met her future husband while they were working, and he was a Christian, and he took her along with him to his church where she attended Bible study classes at weekends. She said when she learned about Jesus, she decided to follow him because she believed he is the way, the truth, and the life, according to John 14:6. I knew this decision would change my life forever, but because of God and Daniel, with Daniel by my side, I am prepared to face it. Whatever happens, Daniel and I will take it as God's test and training for our faith. And when they eventually did decide to get married, it presented a big problem because he was a Christian and she was from a Muslim background. And in Malaysia, when non-Muslims marry, or when they want to marry a Muslim spouse, they have to convert to being a Muslim. And if not, the marriage is considered illegal and Muslims will be charged in Sharia court. So she didn't want to have him convert to change his faith for her, because she is the one that wants to change her faith. We are both Christians and we wanted to marry the Christian way. And through a friend, they found a pastor who was once a Muslim and now a follower of Jesus that was willing to marry them. And as he was telling everyone on the day of the wedding, poor Nora, today is her blessed day, her wedding day, and she couldn't tell her parents. And then she said the whole church cried. Even before the wedding was formalized, everyone cried because they feel, you know, it's sad. It's tragic that this goes on. And she said she couldn't, of course, invite her parents or her siblings because they would have tried to stop her. They could kick her out of the family. She can't talk to them about her faith. And she doesn't want to lose the relationship with her family, especially with her parents, because they're getting old. And Nora and Daniel have been married for 10 years, and they are without children. They would love to have children, but they can't because they don't want them to be taken away from them and raised as Muslims. And she said it's an ongoing struggle, and it cuts deeply. And in 2017, she completed training, a three-year theological studies at a Bible seminary sponsored. She was supported by Open Doors, and she was ordained an associate pastor in her church in March 2018. And she's the first ordained associate pastor from a Muslim background in Malaysia. And on the day of her ordination, the lead pastor told the congregation, "She is the answer to our prayers. You must be responsible. You must protect her. You must take care of her. If any religious department were to arrest her or the converts among you, we as a church must stand together with them. This is our responsibility." So we need to pray for these people that they will be able to be, you know, to live free as husband and wife and not have to worry about the Muslim radicalism in their country.
Well, you know, we see all kinds of stuff going on overseas. And it's amazing that they can hold church and do what they do there with all that persecution. But one of the reasons it's so dire for them is because she was a former Muslim who became a Christian. That's where some of these laws come in at. If she would have been a Christian, period, the laws in many of the countries are different because that's okay. A Christian that's a Christian, you know, and had been that way for a long time, is okay. They can have kids. They're still oppressed. But when you have a former Muslim that becomes a Christian in many of these Muslim countries, they can kill them. Apostate Muslims can be killed.
Well, I hope that she can reach her family and others around her for Christ.
Well, that's the only hope, you know, because it's such a mess. But, you know, we haven't had too many stories coming out of Malaysia.
No.
Like we have in Pakistan and India. And Nigeria is constantly in the news. So at any rate, remember that, young girl. There's a lot of them out there. There's a lot of horrific stories. But it's just like today we got an email from one of the ministries we deal with. And they're a ministry entirely made up of ex-Muslims. And all the stories that we give you have pseudonyms for these people in order to protect them. Well, they have a pretty big list of people. We're on it as well when they need help. And they sent an email out today. And to make a long story short, I had to email them back. And then they responded. But they needed thousands of Bibles in various languages. Now, see, this is a ministry in Muslim-occupied nations that is getting Christian Bibles, and we're talking a big amount, and they need it in a lot of different languages for all their different churches, because they're having ex-Muslims come to the Lord and things, and for their own Christians that are there. But we have reported on a lot of miracles that's going on, and this is really what we're seeing, you know, and in the whole scope of things, you know, not every Muslim is coming to the Lord, but there is a good move of God out there. And in another area,
I want to talk on,
and that's Israel, because Netanyahu couldn't form a coalition not too long ago. So now they were going to have another election because they've got to reform a government. And this has happened before in Israel. They get rather excitable over there in Israel. And Israel does have trouble trying to maintain the kind of, you know, if it's a democracy, that's a different story. And we call it a democracy, but it's really a place for the Jews to live. Now, if they allow in all the Palestinians to become part of Israel, then Israel will no longer be for the Jews. That's what it was for. So there's a lot of problems involved in that, and they're surrounded with enemies. And so there was a report that Jerry Golden did, who has a ministry. He's been doing it for, oh, I don't know, maybe 35, 40 years. I don't know, a long time. And it is bringing Jews in from Europe on boats to Israel. And they have several boats, and they're always needing money for more boats. But at any rate, he always writes reports, and one of the ones, the middle of last month, was that they were sitting there in Israel waiting for our skies to become full of Iranian and Hezbollah missiles. And at the same time, Bolton had been calling down Iran, accusing them of doing some things in the Gulf, which they had said before, even during the Bush administration, that they would shut the Persian Gulf down. So they're very much in this. So there's a lot of things that are happening right now, and a lot of people see war signs. Israel's generals have warned Israel that the next war will be one of the worst they've ever had. There'll be a lot of casualties. They don't think it'll last long because of Israel's ability to strike back. But the bottom line of it is that, you know, this gives you the sense of what they're doing. Every day they're waiting for the skies to be full of missiles. Well, you know, around here where Tara and I live, we get, we've been getting more and more military choppers and military planes.
Yeah,
now we do.
Overhead.
Yeah, we do have the Cheyenne base. We have the Montana base, and we have the South Dakota base that are fairly active. So, you know, you see all this coming on, and you can't mistake military choppers and things. And so there's an ominous sound about them, even though they're, you know, they're ours. There's an ominous sound about them. And so you're sitting here, and all of a sudden, you know, you have 12 to 15 or to 20 choppers flying overhead, and they're really close, and it really makes a sound when they go by. And it's intimidating. It's just like, what are you doing here? That's uncomfortable. We don't want you flying over here. Well, see, in Israel, they've been having a lot of rockets all the time. And they just discovered a tunnel on the Lebanon side where it was, what tower? Five stories deep?
22 stories deep.
22 stories. You know, and the first thing you think of, they have the only way to get down there is on a rope. So can you imagine being let down 22 stories? How do you get down 22 stories?
I've seen a picture that showed stairways. Just a little picture. It looked like they had stairways down there.
That's hard to believe they did it. How do you do stairways?
I don't know. And what about the water? Wouldn't you think water would come up? Wouldn't they reach the water level or something?
Well, apparently not. But at any rate, they do that in order to get into Israel and make war and destroy. And so there's been an ongoing, almost every day, missiles have been coming over from the Palestinians and even from Hezbollah. And Israel's been exchanging them. Hezbollah came out and admitted here a couple weeks ago that Iran indeed had been funneling money to them. Well, meanwhile, you have Bolton and a number of the others on Trump's team that is, you know, positioning troops in the Middle East because of Iran. So there's signs all over the place that people are getting worried about Iran and its partners, which would include Russia. So this is a big problem.
That's disturbing.
So from the standpoint of Jerry, Golden, I feel for him and all of them over there.
Oh, I know.
Because, you know, I know what it's like when we have copters and things flying over here, but I can't imagine dealing with an endless supply of rockets.
Right.
What's that sound?
Nothing.
Okay. Well, at any rate, so Israel, we got to keep an eye on her. We've got to pray for her. And the one thing that is interesting about what he says this about America. As we watch the evil perversion sweep across America in total denial of God and his word, and all of Europe being dominated by the evil of Islam, we are really only seeing God's prophetic word come to pass very quickly before our eyes. There are still small pockets of true believers in both Europe and the U.S., but now they find themselves in a terrible situation. Their very lives are being threatened. Churches being burned down or just taken over, converted into mosques. Men and women with the Holy Ghost power seem to have become far and few between. We see the wrong people being put into government offices simply because the right ones don't feel there's any use to fight. Now, this is actually following Isaiah, you know, some of the prophecies in Isaiah. I'm in Isaiah right now, and I've talked about this identical thing. So from the standpoint of Jerry Golden and a little view from Israel, they can see the perversion in America and Europe. They can see Islam trying to take over. They can see the difference, and they know the threat because they know that Israel is going to get attacked again. So this is really, you know, when we talk about a lot of the problems that we're seeing regarding the end of days, I got another email today from one of our friends in the UK. And I wrote her back because she was talking about Trump and the things that are going on. She was talking from the perspective of his visit to the UK to visit the Queen and all the rest of that. And she said last time that he was over and some of the stuff he was doing over in Scotland and everything else, the UK was just full of anti-Trump stuff and it was a mess. And so they had been praying and fasting that this would go better. And she said this one went a lot better. It went really good. I wrote her back some of the things that we see from here. You know, from here, the liberal media did nothing but mock him all the way over there and while he was there. But it's interesting to note people are noticing there is a difference. You know, there are conservative actors and actresses that are supporting Trump. And
That's great, I think. Thank God.
And it doesn't sound like, you know, they're there, but they are. One in particular that had gotten kicked off of Twitter because of some things that he was on. He has tons of followers. But at any rate, he was saying that Donald Trump, you know, in essence, he wrote a big paragraph on it and they had a picture of him. He is at some event when he said it. But, you know, he had commended Trump and said that this guy is not in it for trying to be elected again, not in it for any other reason than he wants to make America great and he wants to help the people. And it was really some good down to earth positive speak about Donald Trump. And we've noticed that no matter what the evil, the wicked people do, and I call them wicked because that's what it is. That's the way they're acting. They don't give up. They don't forgive. And we have this in America now. America is divided. And that was the point I made to our friends in the UK. And there is no doubt that Christianity around the world is being attacked. America is being attacked and trying to make it divided to get rid of the Christian influence. The UK, the EU, all of these are being attacked and the values of Christians are being attacked. Israel, our only friend in the Middle East, really true friend, both related through the Torah and the Bible, they're being threatened all the time. So we see a lot of things happening when we talk about the end of days.
Yes, we do.
So at any rate, keep that note next time you're thinking about how close we are. Because we're getting there. There's no doubt about it.
That's a fact.
Now, in another story that was kind of interesting, it comes out of the CBN covered this. And it was a gal that was a nurse. And a cancer patient that, you know, cancer patient, right? How many people that are cancer patients actually survive? Can Jesus heal?
Yeah.
Yes. Do we pray for people to be healed? Yes. Do we pray for ourselves to be healed? Yes. Because by his stripes, we have been healed. He is the Lord our God who healeth. Yeah. And so it's obvious. And I even, and the reason this hits home is because I called our local hospital up and talked to the Christian
pastor,
what do they call
church.
It? Pastor, chaplain, hospital chaplain.
Yes, right.
And I asked him, I said, if you were going into a room and there was a person who had cancer dying, would you tell him about the Lord, that the Lord could heal him? And he said, no. And I tried to get more out of him, but immediately he just, I told him I couldn't believe it, you know. And he wouldn't say anymore. He had to get off. You know, he was busy, of course. But, you know, I thought, you know, and this has been years and years and years ago. Now, this is an updated story from the UK. It involves a real medical professional, a nurse, who is working there. There was a cancer patient, and all she did attempt to offer a Bible to him. And now, of course, you know, the big thing here is, were you really fired for it? It's kind of funny how people get in here and they fudge around the facts. And I mean the people who fired her, because they don't want to admit anything. And the bottom line of it is, after a patient stated that they were open-minded about religion, she explained that the only way he could get to the Lord was through Jesus. And, you know, you may not like that, but that's really the way it is. And she told him she would give him her Bible if he did not have one, gripped his hand tightly and said a prayer that was very intense, and went on and on and asked him to sing Psalm 23, after which he was so astounded that they sung the first, that he had sung the first verse with her. And, according to court documents, the nurse also told a bowel cancer patient that if he prayed to God, he would have a better chance of survival.
Right.
And of course, she got in hot water for that. And so she was fired. And there was a failed appeal. And she launched another bid to have the ruling overturned, arguing that the employment tribunal failed to consider the correct interpretation of the Nursing and Midwifery Council Code and the distinction between appropriate and inappropriate expression of religious beliefs. Well, you know, that's a lot of gobbledygook. And, of course, you are in the UK. But if you have someone dying, someone sick, and you're a Christian and a believer, you know, it's foolish not to tell him. The devil don't want you to tell him. You know, and this is really where we're at today, even more so than we were many years ago when I called up that chaplain of our local hospital. You know, when we were over in another town many years ago, I used to go up there and tower, and we'd even go into I remember another place where we was at Bible school. We used to go into the nursing home and friend some of the patients who didn't have anybody to visit them, and we would always talk to them about the Lord. I mean, trying to separate your testimony from who you are is stupid.
Yeah.
Trying to make sense of a bunch of bureaucratic bull is stupid. The bottom line of it is they don't want you to tell them. You know, choose your words carefully, pray about it, and if God, you know, has laid it on your heart, tell them. And, you know, the bottom line of it is that people need hope. And I've even heard other organizations in America who said that to have faith and positive and believe in prayer, the power of prayer, to get healed helps people to be healed. It helps their psychological being because they're being positive instead of negative. You have a better chance of making it if you're going to think, well, I'm going to make it rather than I'm going to die all the time. So at any rate, again, this is really where we're at.
Sad.
You know, there's been a lot of stuff when we talk about you know, India and Pakistan.
Yeah, I have that one. You want me to read it?
And which one?
About the Chinese trafficking?
Oh, yeah, you can if you want to. Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
This story comes to us from Barnabas Aid, and it's about China illegally getting girls from India and Pakistan to, I call it sex trafficking is what it is. And there's a banner that hangs in a Christian district of Lahore, and it advertises to Christian girls that Chinese men are available for marriage. And the undercover investigation by Pakistan's Federal Investigation Agency, the FIA, they have arrested, they've made 39 arrests, mostly of Chinese nationals, and they've recovered 6 girls. And in cases involving Christian girls, the scammers have reportedly paid their impoverished parents several thousand dollars after falsely telling them that the waiting grooms are wealthy Christian converts. The fraud, some reports say the fraudsters are assisted by men claiming to be Christian pastors or Muslim clerics. And Salim Iqbal, a Christian community activist in Lahore, said the gang members normally tell Muslim families the Chinese suitors have recently converted to Islam, and to the Christians, they say Chinese men have converted to Christianity. And China has sent a task force to Pakistan to help in the investigation. The Chinese embassy in Islamabad said China is working together with the Pakistan government and law enforcement agencies to track these illegal marriage centers. The scandal is similar to the exposed in Myanmar in Burma, where hundreds of young, mainly Christian women were trafficked to China, sold as wives to Chinese men, then raped until they became pregnant. And after giving birth, some were allowed back to Myanmar, but were forced to leave their babies behind. And this market for foreign brides has grown in China because of the government's former one-child policy that skewed the gender balance of the population towards males. And so, of course, they don't have enough females to balance out the population. So this is just wicked. It's horrible what's being done by these perpetrators, because these families are so poor and so impoverished that they need the help and they need the money that they sell their daughters. That's tragic that they need to do this, or that they do it. They don't need to. I mean, so we need to remember to pray for those people and that this stuff will stop. Okay, now back to you, Dana.
You know, and that was Pakistan.
Yeah.
And we did another one a couple weeks ago from India, wasn't it? Yeah. And this is absolutely unconscionable. You know, I don't know any godly parent or even secular parent who gives birth and has children who would be all right with some jackhammer coming along and stealing their kids, or trying to turn around and lie about it, you know. And you can't go by posters, but it's unbelievable how successful these people are at lying and thieving and deceiving people.
And your daughter will be well taken care of, and she'll be able to send money home to help you. And
that's one of the oldest tricks in the world. And
yeah,
matter of fact, people use that.
I just said I was just saying that she would have a privileged life. And do use that to deceive.
Well, they use that to get them into America the same way. We've had reports about that kind of smuggling into America. And A matter of fact, who was that that we met the other day that reminded us? Actually, it's some people that we know rather well. And their daughter is a Christian, and she's married, and they're over somewhere trying to prevent that kind of thing from happening.
Yeah.
They were
working in sex trafficking.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's... You know, it's just sickening to me. And another thing that does a lot in Pakistan, especially, that's the brick kiln workers. Now, there was another story that I was reading today from, I think it was the ACLJ, how a particular thing, a guy, the way it works, they need money, so they go to a brick kiln owner. And he loans them the money, and then they sign a contract and work for nothing, work to pay it back. Well, the problem of it is they almost never get out of that because they, in this case, when the guy found out he wasn't getting the proper funds credited to him, he went to the owner, and the owner accused him of stealing money, and he wound up in court, and he was facing a long prison term. Well, the legal department came in, and this came out of Europe. I think it was the ACLJ out of Europe. I think that's one, but it may have been another one. But at any rate, they had went to court and talked to the man and found out that, you know, the story of the guy is true, that indeed this owner had been fudging all along. And they said the way it works, in order to get out of one thing, you got to sell yourself to another one and pay off the old debt, and they never get out of it. They just go from one to another. And
yeah,
so,
that's
yeah. And then we've got another one here, and that's a Christian brick kiln worker who is set free. And he was set free because Barnabas Aid paid off the money that he owed. And he made 1,000 bricks a day. It earned him 800 rupees, which is approximately $5.30. Can you imagine working all day for $5.30 to make 1,000 bricks?
That's crazy.
And he never took any money home.
Slave labor.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, well, at any rate, his debt was paid in full. He didn't think he would ever get done. He says, "My Lord has sent me good news through Barnabas Aid. Now I enjoy freedom from debt." Thousands of Christian brick kiln workers borrow money from their employers for essential needs or a family crisis, like going to a doctor, you know, if you have it.
Right.
There's been other ministries that did that as well. Barnabas Aid is just one of them. ACLJ works on that. A number of others do. So it's just unconscionable that this kind of thing goes on. Living in America like we do, we haven't a clue when we really talk about things like this. We have been so blessed in this country. And it's imperative.
That's right.
That if you're an American and you're enjoying this country, you need to be given to ministries that are helping your brethren in Christ and to alleviate the suffering. And that doesn't mean you can't help non-Christian. That just means that you need to help. You help your brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ. That is a given. We are to do that. And then if you see others, yes, you can help them too. Because if we're not going to do it, who is? That's the simple thing. So that's we see a lot of these kind of things, and it's bothersome to think that people will do that to each other.
Oh, I know, it is.
But the children of Israel made bricks and other things in their slavery too to Egypt.
That's right, they did.
And so we're coming down to the close of the show. Don't forget to visit warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Be sure you can follow us on, you know, Twitter and Facebook. You can follow us on Instagram. Tumblr. And visit the websites, read the articles, share them, tell others about them. Check the show out, download the podcasts. And we're on a lot of different places now, so you can go on over to our websites and you can find on the front page, you scroll down, you can find one embedded radio app, and below it you'll find a lot of links to all the other places that we've broadcasting the show from. So be sure to check all that out. And be sure to help your brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray for them. This show, we do this weekly. And it's an advocacy for the persecuted church and for the brethren worldwide. So, I mean, if you were facing these kind of circumstances, you'd want someone to help you. You'd be praying.
That's right.
So other than that, we're going to get out of here. Do you got anything else before we go?
Well, please join us tomorrow night for Battle Lines. We'll be part, I don't know, part six
Should,
tomorrow
part
night
six.
Of Isaiah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. Isaiah has been a good study, and I look forward to more of that. So it's Refiner's Fire, Isaiah's Prophetic Book, Part 6 on Battle Lines tomorrow night. Thank you for joining us. We love you. We pray for you. And God bless you richly. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Yes, we thank you for joining us. We're in the middle of summer. A lot of things coming up. Hang in there. Look to the Lord. Have a good summer. And don't forget to pray for the brethren. Support the ministries that are helping them on the ground. And if you need a list of those, you can contact us on our website. If you have any other needs, you can contact us on warren-usa.com. Go to our contact page. Do not try to contact us through the social feeds. We'll never answer you. We don't do that. You want to talk to us, you come to our websites. So until next time, we'll see you. This is The Watchman. Have a good night.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of
The Warn Radio.